Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Jim Musgrave, author of the best-selling detective Pat O'Malley steampunk mystery series and owner of Umbra LLC in San Diego, California. His recent book, Steam City Pirates, is a steampunk thriller on an enhanced ebook format that gives readers a whole new experience. Definitely a great read. But before we start, let's learn a little bit about Jim. Jim is the owner of English Majors Editors and Publishers, LLC, in San Diego, dedicated to provide quality-enhanced books and applications. He is also a popular indie author and was a college professor and supervisor of management development at Caltech in Pasadena. He is married to Ellen, who was also a college professor. For more information on Jim and his books, visit his website at www.emrapublishing.com. Or check out also a sample of Steam City Pirates through his website, emrapublishing.com/steam-city-pirates/sample. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Okay. How about you, Susan?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I am so happy to have you again. I find talking to you so much fun.
Oh, that's good.
Jim, this time we're going to talk about your book, Steam City Pirates.
Yes.
And is this a continuation of the other three that came before this one?
It certainly is. It's pulling my protagonist, the detective O'Malley, directly into the world of sci-fi steampunk.
That's so much fun, and I'm sure that people would want to check it out, so I'm going to go ahead and give him the website. You can learn more about Steam City Pirates at emrapublishing.com, and that is E-M-R-E, P as in Papa, U-B-L-I-S-H-I-N-G.com. I encourage everybody to check it out because it's an awesome book, and I will tell you a little bit more about it in a bit. Before, why don't you tell us a little bit more for our listeners about yourself?
Okay, well, I'm a retired English professor in San Diego, and I've always been gravitating toward the writing profession. I was, you know, in high school, I was the editor of the sports column in the newspaper, and I got involved with editing early. And so I've always enjoyed writing in one form or another. And as I honed my craft, I realized that I could publish with the new technology that was available. After I got out of the Navy, I kept up with electronics. I was a radioman in the service. So when I started teaching and doing writing seriously, I saw that the technology was able to assist me in my writing. And I'm not one of those guys like John Updike that kind of said, you know, the Internet is the doom of all civilized writing. And I'm a Pisces. I kind of go with the flow. And I think it can really help writers perfect their craft if it's used properly.
Yeah, I agree, too. And, you know, readers don't realize just how difficult it is to please them when we're writing. As a writer
right.
myself, and you know, as managing editor of a review service, I know exactly just how many different readers are there, and what they look for is totally different from others. But there's something that intrigued me, and I hope that you maybe can shed some light as a retired English professor, writer, and publisher. Also as innovator, because we'll talk about more about your adventures in indie publishing. But why do male readers need to have so much action in their novel in order not to get bored. What is it with them?
Yeah, I think it comes from, it's partly maybe a hormonal thing. You know, I hate to get sexist, but, you know, some things are different in the male and female mm-hmm. bodies. And I think partly it's probably hormonal. Men are into action, and so they transfer that into their dream world or subconscious world, and they want the action there, too. I don't think it's necessarily true, because I've known a lot of guys that, you know, have a very deep interior world, but it was, again, it was honed through practice. Reading is just as much work and practice as writing is. That's something I think people don't appreciate. You know,
yeah.
they kind of see reading as a chore instead, you know, to find information, and the internet is assisted in that regard. Instead of you know, an appreciation for matching it to your inner experience or your worldview, as it were.
Yeah.
So men are kind of, you know, let's have the action. That's what the world's about. You know, let's get away from all this heavy, you know, romance or philosophy or whatever the, you know, the internal goings on of the characters are. So you get, you know, Tom Clancy becomes a great hit amongst the male readers and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and you know what? When I talk about your book series in the steampunk genre, I usually think about male, but I must say that the Reader Views reviewer was a female, and she actually gave a great review on your book, and she raved on praising as well how interactive your book was, and praising the graphics, and she actually recommended the digital copy over the printed one, and that's very strange to hear in a female reviewer for us, because most of them like to have the book in their hand. So I wonder, you know, how did you come up with the idea of enhancing the Steam City Pirates?
Well, again, that's my love of technology and seeing that enhancement doesn't necessarily mean distraction. And that's, I believe, when it's poorly done. And I've seen quite a few poorly enhanced books. And that's because the designer and the person putting it together didn't think in terms of the reader appreciating the work for itself and then adding and enhancing elements that go right along with that experience. And I think that's, you know, that's what I tried to do. That's what I got interested in doing, because I had a, first of all, the genre is very open to experimentation. You know, other writers I've talked to that get into steampunk say, you know, I really found the mother lode, so to speak, with imagination when I hooked up with steampunk. And I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do an enhanced version of Steam City Pirates, was because it was so accessible to enhancing. And by the way, I have a sample online that people can, if they want to see an interactive version of Steam City Pirates, because it was just finished, and my designer, Dave Roderick, put it up on the internet, so people can go there if they want to interact with a sample. It's like the first three chapters and a prologue. Could I give you that?
Sure.
It's kind of complicated.
No.
It's the Emery Publishing site, but then / and then it's Steam City Pirates, but it's all lowercase letters, and after Steam, there's a hyphen, after City, there's a hyphen, okay? and then you backslash again, and you type sample, S-A-M-P-L-E, and then backslash again, and index.html.
Okay, and we will have this on the website.
Oh, good.
So that people can just click on the link and make it easy on you guys. If you're listening, you know, you can write it down or just click it off directly from the website.
Yeah, and if you happen to be an author and you think that designing is cool and you have some ideas for your own book, you know, please give me an email, or my Ephraim Z. Graves is my Skype call sign. I'd be happy to discuss it with you further if you want to go the enhanced route.
Oh, that's awesome. And I'm sure a lot of us will take you on that offer, me included. I wonder, is this type of enhancements where there's games and all that, do you think
mm-hmm.
is specific to just one genre, or do you think, you know, other genres like kids' books and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, it's on my website. You'll see about enhances or what is under the frequently asked questions. One of them is, you know, what is an enhanced book? And what I like to tell people is it's what you want it to be, really. And people in creative writing are very creative. And so once I explain about the theory of enhancement, you know, that it has to be connected to the storyline. It has to give the reader a new look, you know, of mm-hmm. what they're experiencing, or something in depth that they would be interested in reading. It's like the Jacqueline Kennedy book that came out that was enhanced. They had letters to and from, you know, her husband, her late husband, John F. Kennedy. And people really enjoyed that. You know, that was an enhancement to the overall book because it was related directly to, you know, their communication. So, you know, if you have you write history, right? Historical mm-hmm. novels.
Yeah.
People would love, you know, exploring your setting a bit in a bit more detail, you know, with maybe a video or... You know, they do reenactments. There's all kinds of video that's free, you know, for splicing and stuff that could be incorporated in your book, and people just click on it, and there they are in the middle of, Paris during the Revolution or wherever you're placing your characters. And that's kind of the idea, you know, that I work closely with each author to make sure their vision is enhanced rather than distracted or detracted from. That's where it goes wrong, you know, when people, wouldn't that be cool to have a, you know,
yeah.
dancing hippopotamus, you know, when the story is about something entirely different, or, you know what I mean, just
yeah.
kind of falling in love with the bells and whistles. Rather than sticking to the story and saying, well, what would the reader appreciate? You know, how could we make it more in-depth and interesting?
And that makes it actually, you know, I never thought about it as for like a historical book, but I can think of 100 things that I could do to my own book now. That
so
I'm
now you go. See, that's what happens. You get that that eureka moment. And when I talk to other authors, they know what the heck I'm talking about. You know, when I talk about that, that's the moment where your mind spins and, you know, you're ready to make, you know, take the leap, so
yeah,
to speak, of
you're almost making me want to end the interview and just call you
yeah,
and talk
let's
about
go.
This.
Let's go work. Right.
And we'll be back. More Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Jim Musgrave, author of the best-selling detective Pat O'Malley's steampunk mystery series and owner of Ambra LLC in San Diego, California. Stay tuned because we are going to continue this fun and very interesting conversation with Jim about enhanced ebooks, advantages to indie publishing, and why male readers need constant action on their books. But in the meantime, you can check out his book, Steam City Pirates, by visiting his website at www.emrepublishing.com, and that is emrepublishing.com. Tell me something. Do you think that this would be, you know, will be the future in e-books?
I really do. I mean, if I can get my old fuddy-duddy self out of the way, you know, the one that wants complete control over everything, and that's what a lot of authors want,
yeah.
I think, from the old school. Yeah, you gotta gradually give away control to the reader. I mean, it's happening anyway, you know, whether we like it or not. And so if we can do it with quality and maybe even, you know, throw some literature in there and, you know, learn a lesson while they're having fun.
It will
so
be reading,
be it.
Yeah, it's almost like reading will be more like a ride, more about the
exactly.
experience, you know?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Kids get on the computer. I don't know if you have any children, but my granddaughter, you know, she gets on, wham, wham, you know, she knows how to manipulate, and if it doesn't, you know, if she doesn't think it's cool, she moves on. And,
yeah.
You know, with children's books. And so I believe the future of reading is online. And not only that, but if you've noticed the conflagration that's taking place between Amazon and publishing,
mm-hmm.
this is really kind of the tremors of an upheaval, in my opinion. What's happening is the baby's breaking out of the bassinet, so to speak. These giant publishing distributors are losing, you know, their grip. And what's going to happen is that publishers are going to find out these new technologies whereby you can deliver directly to the reader through applications, you know, through apps, through the, you know, the iOS and Android systems and the mobile delivery of digital information. Mm-hmm. And it's going to transfer, you know, the power is going to shift just as we've experienced the power shifting to Asia, you know, as we don't educate our youth, and they do, you know, the power shifts.
Yeah.
I have an app developer from China, you know, because I really like his work, and I couldn't find one in the good old U.S. of A. that was competent enough to, you know, handle that kind of development. So I think, you know, the future is what we make of it, especially independents, because we even have to fight a little harder in the innovative area. And my answer to that for my business and for Steam City Pirates was to say, okay, what the only advantage indies have over the big dogs, as I call them, the big five publishing giants,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that we can market directly to our niche audience. And so I try to connect people on Goodreads and all these forums where indies hang out to find their audiences. And I make it easy in this app that I'm going to have for the author to get close and snuggly, to use a metaphor, with the reader. And so that's, I think, going to be the breakthrough. You know,
yes.
Once.
So why is this that it is an indie advantage to do this? Why can't the five the Big Five can do this for themselves and their authors as well.
Well, it's the big people, and I've published with a big publisher in the past, Harcourt, and what they do is they're worried always about the bottom line, and they're a business, and they should be. You know, they should be concerned about that. But when you're constantly worried that who are you going to offend, we can't take chances like that, that's going to cost too much, you know, yada, yada, yada. What happens is you're afraid, really. You get fearful of innovative technology. And really, that's what the Internet's all about. You know, the next bit, the next startup, you know, the next person who can come up with a new way of manipulating the digital media, so to speak. And that's really the answer for indies. You know, we find a way to attract our audience, to keep them interested, and keep them signed up, you know.
Yeah, in other words, they are pretty comfy where they are at, and we are taking all the chances, giving the opportunity to
exactly. We give the chance to the reader to experience new things. And a lot of the, you know, the big ones are, you know, they'll sign them up. They'll sign after it's successful. You know, it's proved to be successful. They'll sign an indie, you know. But not until, usually, until they prove that they're making money, they won't touch them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an interesting dilemma. I mean, a lot of authors I know, well, should I stay independent or should I, you know, should I go over to the dark side?
Go to the dark side.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know, I thought after the first time I interviewed you, I thought, you know, why is it that this man does not have his own radio show? Because you have so much to say.
Yeah.
And so I was very happy to see that you do now. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your new online show?
Yeah, it's a radio show aimed right now at the steampunk sci-fi people. It's a big audience. And I really connected with a guy who plays music. He plays a lot of music in the genre. And so we decided, well, I'll do the talking and he'll do the playing. And I'll be interviewing authors. My first guest next month is an author, and her name is Susan as well. And I'm forgetting her last name. Please. She's going to kill me, but she is also a steampunk. She's also a rocket scientist. I worked at Caltech as part of my educational experience. I was a supervisor of management development, but she is an actual rocket scientist. She worked for NASA, and she got into writing fiction, and she writes tremendous sci-fi. So I'm going to interview her, and we're going to take it from there, and we're going to have it interspliced with music.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and she's an indie too, so we can really get off on, you know, discussing the new future of independent publishing as we see it. And so, yeah, so it'll be on Dreadnought Radio, and that's Dreadnaught Radio. And you can look for, the guy's name is James Breen, Breen, so they can do a search. It's kind of a guerrilla station. You know, it's like what we used to call in the 70s, you know, an underground station, a radio station.
Yeah.
So, and that's what steampunk people are, you know. They'll pop up anywhere in town, you know, with their outfits, their outlandish costumes. And so people go, wow, have I been transported to the 19th century?
<You know? laughs> That's awesome. That's
they
awesome.
Like to do stuff like that. And so.
Well, I hope you email me and let me know the exact date and stuff.
All right.
I'll be one of your fans.
Oh, great. We'll need them.
Yeah. Jim, you know, it's awesome to see how you are blossoming not only into your writing and, you know, just by embracing your passion on electronics and and sci-fi and steampunk, but also, you know, taking it a little further. This is what other authors who also do is just, you know, take down the wall and have fun and enjoy and try new things. So I asked you last time, you know, what would you tell yourself before you started all this? And now that I see you even going further on your career, I want to ask you the same question. Would it change what you tell yourself? What is it that you would tell now to yourself before you started all this?
Yeah, I would say enjoy life more because, you know, the future's bright. You got to wear shades. And so, and that's what it is, you know. It's we don't have a stranglehold on fear and anxiety, you know. You write history, you know that fact. It's the only thing is that we can perhaps go quicker, you know, than than in the past with our atomic weaponry, certainly. But other than that, you know, we've made things a hell of a lot better for a lot of people. So, you know, it's the world is what you make of it, and that's what I tell myself is to kind of slow down and enjoy yourself, and it, the future is going to be okay.
Yeah, and I think that this is the big advantage between us indies and the and the big
yeah.
time, that we embrace everything that we're doing as a way of enrich our lives, and we are having fun trying new things, and we're not just thinking about, you know, the ballpark figure at the end.
Yeah, I think too many marketing people, this is another opinion of mine, too many marketing people have gotten into publishing,
mm-hmm.
and certainly they have a flair, they have something to add to the scenario, but they shouldn't be the ones making the last decisions, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
And In a lot of respects, that's what happens. You know, the author gets voted out of the, and they say, well, you're going to make a lot of money, you know. So what do you have to argue with that? You know, well, how about the art, you know?
Yeah.
What? The art? What are you talking about? You know,
yeah.
What's
and if you think about it, the ones that really suffer because of it is the reader who has no say what they're going to read. You know, somebody's making that choice for them.
That's right. And that's, we were discussing that earlier, you know, the paradigm is shifting. More
yeah.
power is being given to the reader
yep.
through enhanced and, you know, app technology and social networking. So, and that's why the Amazon giants are restless.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to lose power.
Yeah, it is true. But I read somewhere, you know, that the only business in the world that that is called vanity press, for example, is the indies. You know, is the entrepreneur on the writing
That's
and the
a
publishing
stereotype.
Industry.
Yeah.
I mean, in where other industry do you hear an entrepreneur being calling a vanity something,
yeah.
a vanity chicken? Vanity, you know.
Yeah, how about a vanity book by publishers?
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
Like that Rowling deal, you
yeah.
know. Her writing mysteries because, you know, under a pseudonym, and then, wow, it just happens to be J.K. Rowling, wow. You know, and the sales fly off the charts. But it's, if you read the book, as I did, it's a mediocre mystery, you know, if anything. It's... You know, some friends of mine said it sucks.
You know? Well, you know, there's great authors, great works come from different authors. Just
yes.
because you wrote a very good, that you know, it was actually marketed very well, and
yeah.
the movie came, you know, doesn't mean that all your work is going to be, like, awesome. And,
right.
it, you know, it's just the... That's why readers need the power to choose what they're reading.
That's right. If
so they can... find what they, you know, what is worth reading as well.
Yeah, and that's when they get angry, is when some of their choice is being taken away from them.
Yeah. But I love talking to you, and I could talk the entire day here. And unfortunately,
thanks,
we're running out of time. But
yeah.
I want to repeat again, for you listeners, I really, really encourage you to visit emrepublishing.com. And again, that is emrepublishing.com. This steampunk is here to stay, so.
All right.
You take care, Jim.
Always the same. Take care, Susan.
Okay. And listeners, thank you again for being with us, and until next time.